you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, our reading comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Luke chapter 4, 16 through 20. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him.
Notice in that passage that it was the custom of Jesus to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That indicates that he didn't just hit and miss, that he did not just occasionally do this, but that he went into the synagogue to meet with people worshiping under the old law on a regular basis. Regularity is extremely important. Consider some situations that indicate this. In a given week, a certain baseball team scored 31 runs in 7 games. Another baseball team scored 28 in 7 games. The first team won 1 game and lost 6. The last team won 7 out of 7. You see, the first team scored 21 runs in 1 game and won it. But they never scored above 2 in any of the other games and lost all 6. The second team never scored more than 5 runs in any game, but they never scored less or fewer than 3, and they won all 7 games. The difference is regularity. A mother, a wife, cooks a meal. Company's coming. She cooks up just about everything that's in the house. You can't get all the dishes on the table. Everybody stuffs themselves, and then for the rest of the week, the other 20 meals, she cooks nothing. Another mother has company come in and has a nice meal, but she also thinks about the other 20. And she prepares a balanced meal for her family throughout the entire week. And at the end of the week, has not really spent any more, maybe has not spent as much as the first one, but her family has been fed 21 meals. Regularity is the difference. One family at Christmas time uses every credit card and every possibility of borrowing money and puts under the Christmas tree everything that every child has even indicated that they might like. And then spends the rest of the year trying to pay back those bills and is unable to do very much for their children the rest of the year. Whereas another family with the same amount of money or maybe less has a nice Christmas time and a nice birthday time, but has something for the children at other times during the year and takes care of their needs on a regular basis. Which is better? One church decided that they would double their attendance on this given Sunday during the year, and they worked awfully hard and did. They doubled their attendance for that one Sunday, but 3 weeks later could not tell any difference, and by the end of the year had even lost in membership. Whereas another congregation didn't have too many things that were unusual, but tried to work a little every week and grow a little bit every month and reach out to people all through the year, and wound up at the end of the year with an increase in membership and an increase in work. Where's the secret? Regularity. Not long ago, I saw a bulletin article entitled "The Virtue of Regularity." And it caused me to start thinking about how important it is for us to have regularity in our lives. You see, God made some natural bodies that are a part of this universe. He made our human bodies, and he made the spiritual body of the church, and he has put into the work of each of those the importance of regularity. This earth rotates, continues to be a part of the solar system, God's universe, on a regular basis. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalms 8, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" Notice especially that word ordained. The stars, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. God put into every part of his creation a system that would work. And he put that system to working on the basis of regularity. How many of you even thought last night when you went to bed whether or not there would be light this morning when dawn came? Probably not a one of us in the audience this morning even considered that last night or even thought about it this morning, because that's the way it's always been. And we expect it to be that way each day when we get up. I figured up last night that I have lived approximately 20,100 days. And you know, without exception, the sun has been in the east in the morning and in the west in the evening every one of those days. There have been a few days that I could not see the sun in the morning or in the evening because of clouds or rain or a storm. But without exception, for over 20,000 days in my life, the sun has always been there in the east, and it's always been there in the west at the end of the day. You know, I've been able to calculate and to know how this earth is going to act and react to other bodies within the universe. We know that each year there will be 365 and a fourth days. We catch up every fourth year. And I believe a few years ago we had to set our clocks forward a second or a two to get back in complete regularity with God's rotation of things. Have you ever thought about what it would be like if we did not have regularity with God's heavenly bodies and with the parts of his universe? If we had to wonder exactly how much the earth will be tilted tomorrow and how long it will take it to rotate around the sun and how all these functions, how they're going to act, if we had to ask ourselves, how's this going to be tomorrow? How could we plan anything? It's rather interesting to me that some of the scientists who claim to not believe in God will use God's laws of regularity to calculate how to send something to the moon and bring it back. And they're able to calculate with the highest technology exactly where things will be at certain times. They're able to tell us exactly when a certain comet will pass over and when certain planets will be in line, because God put all these things to work with regularity. Now, he changed his regularity a time or two. He brought the flood into existence. Things were not normal at that time. But after the flood was over at Genesis 8:22, he says, "While the earth remaineth, neither cold nor heat, neither seed time nor harvest, nor summer or winter or day or night," he says, "none of these will cease." Because God has set this universe in motion and it operates with regularity. And aren't you thankful that it does? Well, the same God that made all those natural bodies made our human bodies. And he made us to where we function with regularity. In Job 38:36, where God's asking Job all those questions about the things that God has made to impress upon Job how great God is, he said, "Who put wisdom in the inward parts? And who gave understanding to the heart?" I was just sitting there yesterday as I was thinking about this with my arm on the chair, and I began moving it back and forth like this, and I began to ask myself, which muscles am I using? And I don't even know. Not only do I not have to tell in a way that I'm aware of it which muscles to move, I don't even know exactly how each muscle's functioning. Now, someone who studied anatomy in detail would understand that better. But you see, God has fixed these things so that they work with regularity. And we've come to realize that the organs that function in our bodies are to work with regularity, and some of those that we just take for granted are extremely important. We realize that the digestive system must work with regularity in order for the human body to function as we want it to function. When Jesus was teaching his apostles to pray in Matthew 6, he said to pray, give us our daily bread. Our daily bread on a regular basis is the way we need it. I also figured up last night that in my lifetime there have been, since I was born, 60,300 meals. I haven't missed many of them. In fact, I don't know that I remember really missing any. 60,000 meals. Now, suppose that we decide this week, Judy decides, now, I don't want to have any food prepared Monday through Saturday, and so tonight we're just going to have everything. I want you to just eat and stuff all you can, and then you won't have to eat anything the rest of the week. You and I know that won't work. In fact, the doctors tell us that it's not even good to stuff yourself for one meal and just have one meal a day, that it's better to have three meals. And they're even suggesting to us that it is better if you can eat at about the same time of day every day. Regularity is needed in the functioning of the human body. I calculated last night that my heart, if it has beaten at a fairly regular basis through the years, has beat 2,170,800,000 times. Now, if it's beaten that many times during my lifetime, I ought not be concerned today if it skips four or five, should I? Let me tell you, I'll be concerned before it gets to that fifth skip. You mean it's already beaten over 2 billion times, and I'm going to be concerned if it skips one? You betcha. Because my life depends upon regularity when it comes to the beating of my heart. And I am so thankful, as indicated in that passage in Job, that God has put wisdom in the inward parts that I don't even have to tell it to beat. If I did, I might not have the regularity that it has. God put us and made us in such a way that we function with regularity. Now, if God made heavenly bodies and natural bodies that function best with regularity, and he made the human body that functions best with regularity, doesn't it sound reasonable that that's what he would want with the spiritual body, the church? In fact, when you read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27, you find this whole idea suggested of all the parts supplying, and you just sort of see as you read through that that the eye needs to be seeing all the time, and the ear needs to be hearing all the time, and the feet need to be functioning all the time, not just once in a while. What would you think if you had eyes that only could see one day a week, and maybe just at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning? What would you think if you had hands or feet that could function only 1 hour during the entire week? It's only when the members function with every joint supplying, Ephesians 4:16, according to the ability of that part, that the human body is able to function on a regular basis, and the same thing is true in the spiritual body. In fact, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12 compares in a very detailed way the human body and the spiritual body. I did some calculating as far as my life is concerned from a spiritual standpoint. As far as I'm able to determine, there have been 2,870 Sundays since the time I was born. 2,870 first days of the week. I don't know how many were missed before my mother started taking me to Bible study and worship. Not many. But just guessing that there were maybe two or three, I have been in worship on the Lord's Day every one of those Sundays except about 10. 2,870 Lord's Days. I remember missing 3 Lord's days since I've been preaching. I was in the hospital with an appendectomy in 1957, and I missed 2 about 1970 with the old-fashioned flu. I don't remember ever missing any other Lord's days being in the worship of the church. I calculate that since I became a Christian in 1953, there have been 2,160 times that the Lord's Supper's been served on the Lord's Day. I don't think I have missed a one of those. I remember 2 Sundays where I missed Sunday morning and took the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. I remember the 3 Sundays where I was unable to be at the church building for the services that I had the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper at home. Now, if you sat down and figured your life like that, what kind of story would you have? I also tried to think back over those 2,160 Lord's days that have been in existence since I became a Christian, and I do not remember one. I cannot remember one that I did not give some of my means to the Lord's work. Now, there have been times that I had to bring it back the next Sunday when I was gone, or as I find in my case easier for me to give ahead of time if I'm going to be gone. And as you've heard me say before, and I don't hesitate to say it again, I'm convinced the Bible teaches that my obligation is at the local congregation. I do not believe there has been a Lord's Day, a week since I became a Christian, that I did not give something to support the local work and the local congregation where I was. And when I first started preaching as a teenager, I didn't give much because I didn't make much. But look at the regularity. And there's been many a time that I could not give as much as somebody else. And there's been many a time you could not give as much as someone else. But folks, the key to it is regularity. Regularity. Suppose you were to say of someone else, that person has made 365 calls to check on those that were sick or had problems. That would sound like a large number, wouldn't it? All you'd have to do that is make 1 call per day for a year. Suppose you were able to say, I have sent 52 cards to people who were sick or bereaved or in some way needed encouragement. That sounds like a lot of cards. You send 1 card each week for 1 year, and that's exactly what you've done. Suppose you said, I have functioned and have done 365 good deeds. The Boy Scouts would be glad to be able to say that. All you've got to do 365 good deeds, is do 1 little thing each day that helps somebody else. Maybe it's just opening a door for somebody, or helping somebody across the street, or giving some little something to someone who needs it, or a word of encouragement and a pat on the back, just some little something. You do 1 thing each day for the entire year, you've done 365 good deeds. Regularity. That's where the answer is. Remember, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, was understood by the Jews to mean every week. Lay by and store upon the first day of the week, and they came together upon the first day of the week to break bread, is understood by New Testament Christians to mean every week. And there are those who say, oh, if you meet around the Lord's table every Lord's day and every week, it becomes commonplace. No, if we meet around the Lord's table on a regular basis, it puts the Lord in the proper place and helps us to really appreciate Him for what He is. And if we lay by in store of our means on a regular basis, 1 Corinthians 16 says there won't have to be a lot of gatherings when I come. Now, there may be special needs like Acts 11. And those do arise occasionally. They did then and they do now. But basically, he says, if you'll do things with regularity, you'll be able to do the Lord's work and do it well in the best possible way. You wouldn't expect someone to feed you enough at this hour physically to do you till next Sunday at this hour, would you? And yet, are there not some of us who expect to be fed enough at this hour spiritually to go till next Sunday morning at this time for any more spiritual food? Some of you will remember a man that I have mentioned from time to time that I knew in Clarksville, a man who was 87 years old, who sat on the second seat and nodded his head every time I quoted from the Bible, and usually his lips would be moving. If I have not miscalculated, according to the information that man gave me, at that time when he was 87, he had read 76,650 chapters from the Bible. He told me he had read 3 chapters every day since he became a Christian, and he'd been a Christian a little over 70 years. 76,650 chapters is the equivalent of reading the Bible through 64 times. I think I know why he could nod his head when I was quoting. I think I know why he could mouth along with me, if you will, the words to the verses almost without exception. He had read the Bible through the equivalent of 64 times, but he only read 3 chapters each day. 3 chapters each day probably took him maybe 15 minutes. Maybe sometimes a few minutes more than that. Why did he know the Bible? Why did he have that spiritual food? Regularity. Regularity. It's not uncommon for someone who's a member of the church to say, I just don't feel like I'm a part. I don't feel like I'm involved. I had this happen recently. And I said to the person, do you come to Bible study on Sunday morning? No. Do you come to Bible study on Wednesday night? No. Do you come to worship on Sunday night? No. Are you there every time on Sunday morning? Most of the time. And he didn't feel a part. Folks, the answer is regularity. It's not that anybody can do everything, but it's that everybody can do something and can do it well and can do it on a regular basis. During the last few weeks, we have, in my opinion, made great strides in our work. As we've appointed new elders, new deacons, looked at the organization, getting more people involved in leadership in different areas, asking people to get involved in the work, looking for ways to involve everybody. But let me tell you something. That won't work unless we involve it with regularity. It looks good on paper. It looks good when we start it. But the success of it will be determined a year from now and 5 years from now when we work with regularity. God made the heavenly bodies to function with regularity. He made the human body to function with regularity. And he made the spiritual body to function with regularity. I believe it's the answer for us as individuals and for us as a church. The virtue of regularity in the Lord's work. Those of us who are Christians need to consider this. Maybe some of us need to consider getting back involved on a regular basis. And it may be that there are some who even need to ask for forgiveness and prayers to get back in the harness on a regular basis in the Lord's work. And there may be some here this morning who need to be baptized into Christ to become Christians and to start and then to be regular in their work and their service to Him. The virtue of regularity, just living for Christ every day, every week, every year. Regularity. I think that's the answer. And if you are not living regularly as a Christian, perhaps you need to come to Christ as together we stand and sing.
Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.